Amen. It blesses my heart to see a father and a son serving God together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. 20 minutes. 20 minutes. That's really how long it took Christ to go through the Sermon on the Mount. You can read out loud chapters 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7 in about 20 minutes. And we've been in this message for weeks, you know, because just one word from God is filled with wisdom and truth and understanding, and it will never understand until we get there how deep, how rich His Word and His love for us is.
Amen.
So, we will conclude the Sermon on the Mount this morning. And as He's closing the sermon, just like we close every sermon here in this church, there's a choice to be made. And Christ is going to go through four times of choices that will have to be made if you're going to apply what He has taught in chapters 5 and chapter 6 and the first part of chapter 7 to our lives. And there's two ways. There's God's way, and then there's not God's way. And not God's way is wrong. It's got to be God's way, or it is no way. So we're going to finish out chapter 7 of Matthew. And in this decision, ladies, there we go. You are in the middle. It is a decision that each and every one of us has to make. And we make decisions for God or against God every day. We make them more than one time of day. And so we need to understand that we need to decide for God. So four things this morning. These are familiar verses, and you could preach a message on each and every one of these passages. But the first one is the way to the kingdom. The way to the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, it says, "Enter ye in at the strait." The word for strait means narrow. "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Here in this little section, Christ is wrapping up this sermon. And probably you just forgot what the whole sermon title was about. And the point is that 20 minutes He started this. And now He's bringing it to a conclusion. And as we see Him close everything out, we see that He's going back to verses chapters 5 and chapter 6. But there's four things that we need to understand in this section, these two verses. The first thing, He was giving the crowd a command. He says, "Enter." That implies you. You enter at the straight or the narrow gate. See, there is the right way to go. But He also says that there's a choice. And the choice is that you could pick the wrong way to go and pick the broad way that leadeth to destruction. So He says, you this morning, everybody that's up on the mountain listening to me, you have a choice. You have a choice to follow the way of the kingdom, or you have a choice to follow your own way, which is not going to get you there. One way is the right way, one way is the wrong way, and there are consequences for this. The consequences for choosing the way is either spiritual life or spiritual death. He says, if you enter in at the straight gate, if you enter in at the narrow way, you will find spiritual life. If you enter in and you continue to go down the broad way, you will lead to destruction, which is spiritual death, which is eternal separation from God. And folks, all too often, we kind of get sidetracked. And we think, and people are taught now, that there's many ways to heaven. You can't say there's only one way to heaven, because then you're intolerant. No, there's only one way to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ. He says, straight is the gate. But the concern that Christ has is just what he tells Paul to write, or Peter to write. He says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John writes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, the problem is, there's 7 billion people on this planet right now. But there's only a few going to heaven. There's only a few going to heaven. And unfortunately, few find life. He says, many go the broad way to destruction, but only few go to find life. You know, the Marines made a motto out of that. Yeah. Are you part of the few, or are you part of the many? See, the straight gate takes you through the Word of God. It takes you to a place called Mount Calvary. It takes you to the cross. And there's no other way. The broad gate, oh, it might sound good. It might feel good. It might make you think that you're doing all right. But you're going to fall short. Because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answers Thomas. Thomas asks this question. He says, Lord, how can we know the way? He said, there's this more. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. How can I know that I'm going to heaven? You can know for sure. Because Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Paul writes to the church of Galatia. He says, if any man preach any other gospel than what I preach, let him be accursed. John writes in the last chapter of Revelation. He says, if you add to the words of this book, or you subtract to the words of this book, the plagues that are in this book will be on you. You know why? Because you're not going to heaven. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? There is only one way to heaven, and that's through Him. He's been preaching this. He says, I've not come to destroy the law. He says, I've come to fulfill it. I've come to fulfill God's plan. God's plan for your life is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ that you know for certain you go to heaven. That's His plan for everyone on the planet. But unfortunately, few find it. Few find it. But Christ goes on. And as He continues the conclusion of this message, He says, in your spiritual journey, He says, there's going to be wolves along the way. You know, you could go read a famous book, Pilgrim's Progress. And in Pilgrim, he's making his journey to heaven along the righteous way. And he's confronted all along the way by adversaries. See, there's people along the way that want to say, nah, that's not the way. There's other ways. My way is better than your way because my way makes you feel good. No, there's only one way. Well, there's other ways to do this. You can serve God and you can also serve men. Wait a second. God said you couldn't do that. You could do this and do that. No, wait a second. God said that was sin. See, we need to understand that God is high and lifted up and holy. And He says, as I am holy, be ye what? Also holy. So there's wolves along the way. In verses 15 through 20, He says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Folks, a true Christian would want to build other Christians up. A true Christian would want to show them the right way. A true Christian would want to have fellowship, and you're on the right way, because how could two walk together except they what? Be agreed. So if someone's teaching you something contrary to God's word, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Well, this is a modern day, and the Bible really is. No, the Bible means what it says. This is our blueprint for life. It says in verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening. You know, Satan goes about as a what? Roaring lion, seeking whom he must what? Devour. You have an enemy. We went through spiritual warfare. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what? Against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. Powers of darkness in high places. Ye shall know them by their fruits. And then Christ asks some simple rhetorical questions. Okay? Where's Michael? I'm going to use Michael. There's Michael. Michael, when you go to an apple tree, are you going to see an orange?
Would you?
No, you wouldn't.
You would? No, you wouldn't. What would you see on an apple tree?
An apple.
Apple. Okay. What would you see on an orange tree? Huh? Oranges? Would you see oranges? Absolutely. See, when you go to a fruit tree, and you know what type of tree it is, you expect it to give the fruit that it's designed to do. See, Christ one day was walking down the road and he saw a fig tree. And the time of figs was not yet, but it had all the leaves, it had all the signs of life in it, it didn't have any fruit. And guess what he did? He cursed it and it died. Kids know that apple tree does apples. Orange trees do oranges. How come we adults miss that point? How come we think that we can be a Christian and live ungodly lives? How can we be holy and not live holy things? See, James talks about that. He says, ye know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. We talked about that before. Don't think you'll be good, be evil, and do good. It doesn't work that way. For where your treasure is, there's your heart. And it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If your eye be single, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye be darkness, how great is that darkness? Hey, that was in this message. That was in this message. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. See, here are some spiritual truths that we all need to examine ourselves. Spiritual reality comes from within. You and you alone know your relationship with Jesus Christ. You and you alone know if you're going to heaven. You and you alone know if you're walking in step with God. See, spiritual reality comes from within. Spiritual transformation shows inside out. You might be able to put on a facade of living clean living for a while, but if you're evil on the inside, it's going to be shown forth. Christ calls out the Pharisees and the scribes later on. He says, you're whited sepulchers full of dead man's bones. He says, you make a great effort to clean the outside of the cup, but inside is full of filth. See, if we are right inside, we'll be right outside, and people will see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. But you can't be evil on the inside and do good on the outside. You might do good by your standard, but you're not going to do good by God's standard. The only good thing is what we do for God. See, spiritual falsehood is judged. He says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, we've all heard about wolves in sheep's clothing. No, if you're a military person, if you want to infiltrate as a spy, you have to look like the people. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of people that look like Christians in our churches today, but are not. Only, well, that's pretty harsh
That's the truth. Yeah.
It's the truth. Judas looked like a disciple, but he was the agent of Satan. Peter said some great things at times, but at other times he said some really weird stuff. See, we have the capacity to do good, but only through God. See, spiritual reality comes from within. Spiritual transformation shows inside out, and spiritual falsehood is judged. There are wolves along the way. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. This is your lifestyle. Okay? This is the lifestyle of these people. Okay? My Bible says in Ephesians that fornication, some of these things, let it not be named once among you as become as saints. But look at what Revelation 21:8 says. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. And then when it gets all over with, and what? Everybody read it. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See, you might be able to lie to your friends. You may be able to lie to your family, but you cannot lie to God. And Christ is preaching this message here. 20 minutes. Large crowd. He's saying all this thing. He's getting down right to where they meet, right into their face, and saying, this is what you need. This is the problem. This is what's going on. Hey, there's Pharisees and scribes. They're false teachers. They're out there already in that crowd. They're already there. He says, there's only one way to heaven. That's through me. And if you are on that way, then you're going to avoid all these false teachers. They're going to teach something different, contrary to my word. And if you think you're going there, but you don't have a relationship with me, you're lying to yourself, and you're not. That's some tough things to do. See, now we have to put it all in perspective. We need to have good fruit. So here's all the things that he's preached on. We need to act because we have a relationship with Christ. We need to change the way we think. We need to hear what Christ says. In chapter 6, we need to combat self-righteousness. We need to act as if we're on our way to heaven, not just trying to get there. And then in chapter 7, we need to do good judgment. See, if you have this perspective, you'll have good fruit. See, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it should change the way you act. You should have a testimony that is God honoring. That's the first point. If you change the way you act, then you will change. You have to change the way you think, because you can't do good thinking evil. You can't be holy just by thinking about it. You have to live it. It has to come from the inside. And it should change the way you think. If you change the way you think, you'll be prone to listen to what Christ says. He says in that passage, he says, "Have ye not heard?" Implying, I've said this over and over again in my word and you haven't listened to me. Folks, if we say we're a Christian but we don't do what His word says, how can we prove that we have good fruit? And if we hear what God says, then we won't want any sort of self-righteousness in here because it's all about Him. And if it's all about Him, then we will act as if we're on our way to heaven instead of trying to please somebody else. The only person we have to please in this universe is God. Amen. And if I please God, I'll have a right relationship with my fellow man. Yep. Mm-hmm. And if I'm trying to please God, I will judge everything in the mirror of His word. I will judge everything based on the perspective of God's thing. I will have the mind of Christ. Go read Philippians chapter 2. It says, we have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, why can't we live that way? And if we're not living that way, we're a false prophet. We're saying something that we're not doing. And we cause people to stumble and fall and go the broad way to destruction. So we need to understand that the way to get to the kingdom. We need to understand that there's wolves along the way. We need to understand that there's a witness that stands at judgment at the end of our life, at the end of our way. In verses 21 through 23, the Bible teaches this. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of God, which is in heaven. You must do the will of God in accordance with His word. His will and His word are the same. And there's a lot of people say, well, I'm a Christian, but my spirit tells me. Yeah, your spirit tells you, not the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Go back to Exodus. Moses is told by God to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go, and I'm going to show you these signs. The first sign was he threw his rod down and became a snake. But then what did the sorcerers and magicians do? They threw their rods down and became snakes too. The second one was, we'll turn the water into blood, and they did the same thing. Just because you do a miracle doesn't mean you're from God. Because Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. We heard that Wednesday night. Folks, we need to see who we're looking at and where the truth is. Because eventually, in the competition of plagues, there came a point that they couldn't replicate what Moses was doing. And then they had to admit this thing. They went, the sorcerers and the magicians went to Pharaoh and said, this guy serves the living God. Folks, our lives should be such that they will see our works and say, this person serves the living God. It says, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, at the end, we will all stand before Jesus. And Jesus knows our heart because God looks on the inward man. And if we received him as Savior, enter into my rest. If you not received him as Savior, depart from me, because you're just a worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You say you know me, but the issue is it's not that you know about God, it's whether or not that you know him. Paul writes, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. See, straight is the way. Christ said, in this world you'll have tribulation. He says, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. See, there's a witness at the end of the way. See, our words are empty without the Holy Spirit. James, or 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul writes this. He says, he talks about when he comes to the Corinthian church. He says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration. What does demonstration mean? Demonstration means other people can see it and realize it. They can see it. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of what? Everybody say it. Power. Do you have God's power? Do you have God's power? See, our words are empty without the Holy Spirit. Our works are vain without being in God's will. Psalm chapter 127, verse 1, the Bible says this, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. See, if it's not about God, it's not. You sound pretty fanatical. Yes, every day I'm beginning to understand it more and more. You're either for God or you're not. You're either doing His will or you're out of His will. You're either trying to be holy or you're not. And when you fall short of it, you say, God, forgive me and help me. Folks, there needs to be a life change, a radical life change that change your thinking, that change your actions, that motivates you to do things. There's a witness at the end of the way. Our words are empty without the Holy Spirit. Our works are vain without the being in God's will and having His power. And then lastly, the Word of Christ is final. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. It's not what you think, it's what God says. Amen. It's not what we legislate, it's what God's Word means.
Right.
Folks, this is the last day. This is the last day. We need to serve Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, in all of our mind. There's a witness at the end of the way. Several years ago, we took a vacation to New England. You ever been to New England? Ever been to Salem? The house on the left is the House of the Seven Gables. Book written about that. But all through New England, there are houses that have withstood for hundreds of years. And everything in them works. And there's no cracks and they still stand because they were built on a good foundation. I bought a house here. And if you bought a house here, well, we come up with a better way. We come up with floating slab. Yeah. See what your floating slab does? Everybody have these in your house?
Yeah.
Cracks in your wall. You know why? Because it's not built on bedrock. It's built on clay. And see, cracks allow insects to come in, doesn't look right, and everything else. I'd rather have my life built on bedrock, where there are no cracks, where everything works, where nothing comes in. And that's what Christ is talking about here on the way to build your life. In verses 24 through 27, it says, therefore, remember, 20 minutes. He's been talking for 20 minutes to this crowd. And this is the last thing he says. And he sums it all up. We always give an invitation at the end. And this is his invitation, basically. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and what? Everybody say it. Doeth them. I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That's one way you can go. Or you can go the other way. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them what? Not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. See, the question is, which man do you identify with, crowd? He's preaching to everybody. Who do you identify with? Do you identify with this big crowd over here that's going to destruction? Or do you identify with the few over here that's finding life? Which crowd are you identifying with? See, James chapter 3 verse 10 says this. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show. Let him what? Let's all read this so we kind of get this one. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. And I know I'm up here bouncing around and making myself look like a fool. But I'd rather do that than do anything else right now.
Amen.
See, which man do you identify with? The foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. Man's wisdom is foolishness to God. You go to New Orleans even today, and you go down into the lower quarters of the city where Katrina went through there, and there's still big houses with X's on them. They're uninhabitable. They're condemned. Christ said to Nicodemus, he said, if you don't believe in me, the wrath of God abides on you right now. So my question to you is this. Is your house, is your spiritual house continuing? Or is it condemned? See, the Bible says here that the foundation is the key. In Psalm chapter 11, verse 3, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Folks, we cannot destroy the foundations of this church. It's God's word. It's God's will. It's God's power. It's God's spirit. It's all about Him. It's about Jesus. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's a lot of places that say they're doing church work, but they're not. It's about saving souls. It's about preaching the word. It's about doing good things. And you can't mix good with bad. And it's got to be in accordance with God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth on. I want everybody to read the last part of this verse, and then the next verse. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the door to the sheep. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am all these things. You're not. I am. Because I am.
Amen.
And verse 10 says, we need to take heed. That means we need to look out and watch what we do. How we're building our spiritual house. How are you building your spiritual house this morning? Is your spiritual house in order? Is it founded on the bedrock of Jesus Christ? Does it have cracks in it? Is it falling apart? Come back to Christ. Put your trust in Him. Christ is done. 20 minutes. And the people are stunned. They've never heard anything like this before. For some in the crowd, this may be the last time they ever hear Christ speak. And it was time for a decision. To some of you today, this might be the last time you ever hear the Word of God preached. It's time to come to a decision. In verses 28 and 29, it says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority." See, Christ knew what he was talking about because he was God. All the other people didn't know what they were talking about because they weren't. And over the thousands of years, they'd come up with what their version of God was. And folks, we're doing the same thing today. We're doing the same thing today. He says, "Search the Scriptures. For in there you find eternal life." He says, "Those Scriptures speak of me." It's time for a decision. It's time for a decision. "For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." See, the question is this. Do we stand in awe of God's Word? When you hear God's Word preached, does it motivate you to act? To change the way you think, the way you act? Say, "I'm not going to do this anymore by your grace, God." See, we need to be motivated by His message. But the only way that you could do good works for Him, that pleases Him, is you need a relationship with Him. And you need to ask yourself this question. If you died right today, would you go to heaven? Or is it something you say you're still working on? And if you're saying you're still working on it, you're not. See, man comes up and says, I keep on trying to do good. You can't. You can only do good through God. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you need one today. This may be your last chance. You need to realize that Christ died on the cross for your sins. That it was buried. And then on the third day, He rose again. Amen. To show He has power over sin and power over death, which is the penalty of sin. And He sits on the right hand of God. And He offers intercession for us. And He offers the gift of eternal life if you just receive it. And just ask God, Christ, for His forgiveness and make Him Savior of your life. If you've never done that, today could be the day if you choose to do that. But for us, if we're Christians, we need to get in awe of His Word. We need to be astonished at Christ. We need to be motivated by His message. We need to do this. We need to have the Word of God dwell in us richly. Colossians 3:16 says this, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Not what you think church should be, but what God says church should be. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Folks, when you sing, you're happy. When you sing, there's freedom. Are you singing with Jesus this morning? Is your heart right with God? See, the question is this. Which way are you going? Are you going on the narrow way? Or are you going on the broad way? The broad way is not the right way. Come through the gate that goes to Calvary. Come through the gate that goes through God's Word. Come through the gate that meets Jesus and put yourself at Jesus' feet. Say, "Lord, help me. Jesus, help me. Help me live my life the way you want me to." Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask be a time of invitation. Father, search our hearts, Lord. Lord, I just pray that someone does not know you, that they would pray the prayer and say, Father, forgive me. I know I'm a sinner. I know you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. I can't get to heaven on my own. I accept his payment on the cross for my sins. And I accept him as my Savior, and I receive the gift of eternal life. And from this point forward, I want to live for you. Well, for Christians, Lord, I just ask that you pray a prayer, Lord, make me right in your sight. Give me your grace. Help me, Lord, through your mercy, understand what you want me to do. And make me more like you each day. That should be a prayer for each and every one of us. Lord, fill this place with your Spirit. Work your way, Lord, in each person's life today in this invitation. And we give it to you for your glory and your honor. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.